Well, good morning to our Calvary Church family that's not only here, but those watching online. And we're excited for what God's doing in our midst. So grateful for God's presence here this morning. Want to get into our message and really cut to the chase of it, because I really want us to have an extended time of worship and prayer for one another. So anointers, be prepared, because we want to be able to pray for those who need healing, who need agreement and prayer, transformation in their lives. We want to have that time. So I'm going to jump on my horse in a minute. But pray for Pastor Stacy and I. This week, we're going to be traveling back. This afternoon, we'll start the venture, and we'll travel back to see our parents. Stacy will spend the week in Sioux City, Iowa, with her parents. And both of our parents are, it's just tough when you watch your parents physically fail. And I'm going to spend the week with my mom, gather a few things out of the house, and she's down to 94 pounds. And so, Mom, if you're watching, you need to eat, all right? That's one of those, it's just tough. But just know, anything during the week, we'll be back next Sunday. Just anything during the week, know Pastor Aaron, Pastor Denise, Tara, Catherine, they're all ready to serve you all. We've got such an incredible team. Can I just tell you? We really do. But we'd covet your prayers as we go through this week. We would greatly appreciate it. Well, this morning, if you turn in your Bibles and your Bible app, so if you open up your phone, open up your Bible, whichever you choose to do, James chapter 2. We're actually crusted into James chapter 2. And we're going to talk, among all things, this popular topic that's preached on all too often. You guessed it, prejudice. Yeah, you don't hear this topic preached on very much at all. And unfortunately, that's sad. James chapter 2, verse 1, look at it. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. See, remember, James is giving us, as we've been going through this book, he's been giving us a series of tests. And these series of tests really help us as believers, because it's designed for us as believers to really help us understand and evaluate the maturity of our faith and the strength of our faith. And in many points, we'll find that people are confronted with what true faith really is. And when they look through the lens of what James writes, some will find that they have no faith at all. And what they've been thinking they had faith is not. Because they'll discover what true faith that saves. And James is helping us walk through this. So we've seen various tests. How does a person go through trials? How they go through it is an indicator whether they have saving faith or not. How they view God in the midst of that trial. Whether they trust him as a good and loving God. Or if the trials turn them into resentful, bitter followers. And they begin to blame God for their failure, it's an indicator of the strength of their faith. How we respond to the Word of God, whether we embrace it and become doers of the Word, just not hearers. When we, in our speech, James speaks really direct. James chapter 1, verse 26, if we don't bridle our tongue, then it's an indicator of our faith, something's wrong. And we've been learning the last several weeks, looking at ways of how to respond to the helpless, to the disenfranchised, to the orphans, to the widows. And last week, we even talked about the need for personal purity. So now we come to another test, and this is the test of prejudice, partiality, favoritism. And so I want to challenge you today as we go through this verse, and we're going to be on this topic even next week as well. We'll wrap it up, because we'll go into James chapter 2, verse 1 today, and verses 2 through 13 actually will give us an illustration of the principle that James unpacks in verse 1. And so this morning, there's three things I want to bring your attention to when it comes to the area of prejudice. First of all, what we're going to look at is we're going to look at the character of God. So let's look at what God's character and what even James says. Because James points us to God's character right away in verse 1. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of God, Lord of glory. See, prejudice is inconsistent with the faith of Jesus Christ. And it's inconsistent with any believer. It's not even consistent with the very character of God, so it should not be in the character of his people. If I asked you the attributes of God, asked you what attributes do you think of when you think of the character of God, we would immediately start going to a whole lot of other topics than the impartiality of God. We'd immediately tend to go on topics of God's mercy, God's grace, God's sovereignty. But would we talk about God's impartiality? This message, I'm just telling you, this digging in this has just challenged me. It's challenged me because how often have I've thought of it as a line, but have I really looked at it at a core to the importance of this attribute of God? Are we challenged by how we judge people? In our own lens, so many times we categorize people, we're influenced, our approach to people are influenced by the way they dress, we're influenced by their career, we're influenced by their education. This is a topic that we need to wrestle with. Second Chronicles, what is amazing, and I'm going to bring this verse, 2 Chronicles chapter 19, 7, up on the screen. We begin to see throughout Scripture, God's impartial. It's throughout, woven throughout, and it really is one of the key attributes of who God is. Look at it in verse 7. Now then, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Be careful what you do, for there is no injustice with the Lord our God, or partiality, or taking bribes. In other words, he's telling us, listen, even when you judge, so in this audience, when you judge, you need to be careful. Let the fear of the Lord be upon you, because you need to know that as you judge others, that God, the God who you're standing in that stead of, is not partial. He will not take bribes. He is completely full of justice. And that's what makes this interesting is Moses. When you think of all that Moses got to see in his life of watching God's greatness on display, being able to have the privilege of God speaking to him person to person, the glory tangibly around him. What does Moses go to when he begins to share about God? Look at it, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, the awesome God who is not partial and takes no bribe. So Moses had seen all of this amazing work and glory of God. And what's the first attribute he goes? It's not the power that split the Red Sea. It's not the burning bush on a mountain. It's the impartiality of God, that our God is not partial. He takes no bribe. He treats every person as equal. See, this is an amazing part, that our holy, magnificent, one-of-a-kind God is impartial. It's a character part that we can learn today, that God is no respecter of persons. Secondly, I want you to see that God does not judge people on the outside like we tend to do. His impartiality is demonstrated in so many different ways. God looks in so many different ways than what we do. Where God looks at the heart, that is what we need to follow. So secondly, God's impartiality is what we need to make note of, and it's demonstrated in a couple ways. One, it's demonstrated in salvation. Peter speaking at Cornelius' house, Acts chapter 10. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right and acceptable to him. See, God in salvation plays no favorites. Whosoever calls on him will be saved. Whosoever. Anyone here. Anyone watching online. You need to know, you call on God, guess what? He will save you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It has nothing to do with your past. It is everything about our God. He is so holy. He is so righteous. So even in our salvation, when we call, we can know that our God will answer. Secondly, what's amazing is God's impartiality is demonstrated even in his judgment. Romans chapter 2, we've learned that God is not partial when it comes to judgment. Look at Romans chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil. The Jew first and then the Greek, but glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek, for God shows no partiality. See, even in God's judgment, there's no favoritism, there's no partiality. God will judge, he will judge easier on us whereas we have repented and turned our life to him. Colossians, Paul shares this, chapter 3, verse 25, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done. There is no partiality. See, God is not partial when it comes to judgment. That's where he is holy, and his standard is right on. There's no deviating. There is nothing on our very best day that could ever replace God's holiness and his standard. And I want you to notice something else. God's impartiality is demonstrated in a couple ways, and in another part is in our occupation. See, it doesn't matter what job we have, what occupation, what status we may have. You may feel like you're on the lowest rung on the earth, on the planet Earth with your job. Or you could be one of the biggest CEOs of one of the largest corporations in the world, and it makes no changing of your status with God. Nothing will change your status, your relationship with God, other than our faith of coming to him in faith and trusting him alone. See, God doesn't play favorites. It doesn't matter if you're the employee or the employer. He treats everyone the same. At any point when you start bringing up the word prejudice, it stimulates a lot of different thoughts today. Immediately, we can talk about racism, which is sad. And it's amazing how far our nation has come over close to 150 years, but we still have a long ways to go. Racism is one of the toughest issues, and sadly, I feel like we could have actually made even more progress if the church hadn't been so silent for so long. Because of the silence, when you talk about slavery and so many other aspects when it comes to racism in our nation's history, honestly, it's a sin that the church did not act faster. For the move that God wants to bring this area of our country in a great awakening, you need to know this, that this is the part that we need to repent as a nation. Even with the latest hot spots, going back just a few years ago to George Floyd and all those ripple movements that took place during the pandemic, you need to know those were actually opportunities. And it's amazing how our prejudice and politics play into this, and then being in a political year, we need to be challenged as the church not to get sucked into a political topic. But how do we biblically respond as a believer when it comes to immigration, when it comes to the racism topics that are going on currently? Because God has no place for playing favorites or trying to divide people. He looks at each person as uniquely equal, and that's the amazing part about our God. And so if we try to make, whether it's color of a person's skin, whether it's what they look like, whether they have studs or all over their body, wherever they have body piercing, some of them I don't ever want to know. But if we allow what all these different things to deter us from seeing how God views them and our response to them, we need to be ashamed and we need to walk after it, to respond how God would want us to respond. May we be challenged. And this is where I'm telling you, this whole part has just challenged, it's stirring me, because there's parts when I pray for this region in the awakening that God wants to bring. Some of the racial divides have got to be broken. In the 14 years since Pastor Stacy and I moved to Missouri and came back, And again, I haven't done a whole lot of empirical research on this when I say this. But when I look at the divisions of the traffic from our Native American reservations to our other populations, I don't see the mixing like it should. God wants to bring an awakening to this nation and to our area. And in the large part, where it'll start will be as we, as the body of church, the body of Christ, step up and look at people the way God views people. When we begin to demonstrate the character and the heart of our God before people, never before in our nation's history have we had an opportunity like we have right now. In the most divided parts, when you look at our nation, we're divided politically, we're divided, everyone is looking for divisions, it seems like, right? It doesn't take long that you could get into an argument with your neighbor over the smallest, stupidest thing. And God wants to empower us in this season to have a new view and to treat people, respond to people, relate to people the way that he does. And this is an incredibly tall order. 1 Samuel 16:7, and you see it, and it's a very familiar passage. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks to the outward appearance, but the Lord looks to the heart. See, God doesn't play favorites. He has no place for partiality or prejudice. He abhors it. And that gives us a whole new understanding when we get back to James chapter 2, verse 1, which we looked at, that my brothers show no partiality. As you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, so as you walk out in your faith, hold no partiality in it. And that word partiality is a very interesting word, because the root carries with it the thought of judging somebody by their face. It's really interesting when you start digging into the language culture. Chloe, you'll be getting to do a lot of that. It's that you literally make up your own mind and opinion by how someone, you just look at the face, you're looking on the outward appearance, and suddenly make your decisions. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to show no partiality. We are all from one set of parents, this whole human race. We're all from one. Acts chapter 17, Paul says this, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries for their dwelling place. We're all from the same set of parents, people. There shouldn't be any racism, animosity. We're all one family, and in Christ Jesus, we are all one brothers and sisters. And one of the greatest hallmarks that we would be able to show as a church in our culture today, in this area, in this region especially, when we don't have as much near diversity, when you move in, as we have, and even southern Missouri didn't have a whole lot of ethnic diversity in the Springfield area. We had some, but not to the degrees of Kansas City. At some point, you could be moving here. If you moved here recently, you're kind of going, where's the rest of the people? They're all white. And even in the midst of a heavily white region, we need to be able to be mindful to challenge ourselves in this way. Look at James chapter 2, verse 1, because I like how the NLT says this. My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have the faith in your glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? New Living Translation. So how can you claim to be a Christian is what James is saying if you're prejudiced. See, it's totally inconsistent with Christianity. The two don't belong together. This verse 1 gives us the principle. Over the next week, we're going to look at an illustration that James gives us to how to deal with prejudice. But here's several ways that I want to leave you with. How we apply God's impartiality, what can we do? One, genuinely love others. James is going to show us, and we'll look at it next week, that how this works, working out of the local church, in any church. Look at James chapter 2, verse 8. It says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You're doing well. See, James is going to help us start to realize this principle of being impartial. You're going to really know if you've done it. And we really hear Jesus, that royal law is quoting Jesus when he begins to speak, well, the greatest commandment is to love your Lord, your God. But the second is like it, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. And this is what James is bringing back here. You're going to be doing really well. It's one of the highest standards. It's the highest commands in Scripture. And James is saying, you've got to embrace the royal law here. Your neighbor as yourself. And if you can do that, you're doing really well. But if you're showing partiality, then you're committing sin. So let's square that away, all right? Because immediately we can say, well, this isn't how I was raised. Sorry, it's not an excuse, it's sin. Well, it's just how I was brought up to think this way. Still, you need to grapple with it. It's sin. God wants to challenge us to love people. Secondly, we have to repent for the sin of prejudice. We need to repent of it. Daniel, in chapter 9 of in Daniel, we see Daniel begins to pray for his country, and literally he stood in the gap praying for his nation's sin. We need to stand in the gap, just like Daniel did for our country. As we approach the 4th of July and we'll be celebrating freedom, we'll be celebrating liberty, and trust me, I love our country. Even for all the battered and the sad, disgusting parts of it, because there's freedoms and opportunities that we have, but we really need to pray for the sins that our nation is committing. When I sit back and think of all the riots from the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, and all it really revealed to me was we've made progress, but are we talking to one another? This is one of the greatest opportunities I feel like we can have to have conversations together with people today if we take advantage of it. But we will repent before the Lord and seek his face. Thirdly, we have to stand firm against the devil, because you need to know racial prejudice is the work of the enemy. He loves to divide. He loves it. He loves to sow division. He loves to sow prejudice. And so if he could get our hearts full of division, full of strife, full of hatred towards one another, then guess what? The enemy is loving it. And he loves to take advantage of these intricacies that are going on, all the division, whether it's political, whatever. Here's the part where we've got to, as the church, we've got to hang on and say, God, I'm standing in you. Help me to respond by your leading, not the leading voices on a political culture, not by leading voices wherever else you might be tuning in culture. It could be a neighbor, it could be a coworker, but whatever podcast you might be listening to, you need to stand firm against the works of the enemy that would do anything to bring division. Fourth, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to change us, because these or things can get so deep-seated. There's so much stuff in our nation that's so deep-seated. You know what? It's only going to take a work of God. It's going to only take a work of God for us to see what God wants to do. It's not going to be something that we can manufacture. It's not going to be just because we start to do really good in our own efforts, we will always fail. But we need God's Spirit to change us so we're in that moment. If I could have the worship team come, I know this is just an odd message in so many ways. Just because it's a sobering message. Because there's a part, until we deal with prejudice, until we deal with favoritism, till we begin to deal with that, but then by contrasting that to who our God is, to a God who has no favorites whatsoever. Actually, I could say he actually does, in the sense he looks at all of us, we're all of his favorite. He wants to bless. He wants a relationship with us. And he will not treat one person differently than he treats any other. And that's one of the exciting parts, that is, even as we go to the altar today, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to do the work. If I could have our anointers come, I want you to line across the front, because here's the great thing that we need to know this morning, is that God is impartial with even how he works in our lives. He will not work in one person's life different than the others, in the sense he will bring healing. As much as he heals one person, he can heal the next. And he wants to show that impartiality in your life, in healing, in provision. He just doesn't play favorites. That's good news. And if you're here today, here's the other part. Maybe you're here today watching online. You do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You may go, oh, I go to church. I think I kind of know about him. But if you don't know him in an intimate relational way, that you've asked him to lead your life and to be your only way of salvation, here's the greatest news that you need to know today, is that he loves you today just as much as he loves anybody else in this building. He is for you. He is with you if you turn your life to him and watch him display his goodness in your life. When you give up control, guess what? He won't do things to embarrass you, because he'll always think of your good. He will not leave you alone, because he loves you too much. See, this is the wonderful, beautiful attribute of our God that's so amazing, that's so wonderful, that as we go back into a time of worship, I really want you to wrestle with this. Can you look at your life today and see, is there any prejudicial way in your, with not just treating somebody in this church, but I'm thinking, even I'm really wanting you to, was there an interaction with somebody this last week, maybe at Walmart, maybe at the checkout line at Jack's, maybe it was pulling up to a gas pump, and immediately maybe a prejudicial joke came out in your mind, maybe just a thought. Lord, help us to see it, to check it. See, that's the wonderful part here today, is that God is wanting us to look inside and contrast it with who he is, because he wants to demonstrate his goodness, his power, in such an incredible way. So again, if you're here today and you don't know that Jesus is that number one thing in your life, but you know you did for a while, and maybe you've walked away from it, or maybe you've gone, maybe today for the very first time, you're going, okay, I'm starting to catch on that there is a God who loves me just as much as he loves anybody else, then how do I find it? And it comes when you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ alone. And you do it in the form of a prayer. And I want to encourage you, if that's you today, that you know you need to make that decision, or maybe it's a redecision, that God, everything I do, everything in my life, I give it to you. Lead me, lead my life, and be my Savior. If that's you, it starts with a prayer, the voice of your heart, and you invite him in. It's that simple. It starts that simple. And if that's you today, I want you to say this prayer along with everyone else. I invite you to say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For loving me.
For loving me.
Equally as anybody else. Thank you for loving me and not giving up on me. Come into my life. Be my leader.
Be my leader.
And my Savior.
And my Savior.
Do a new work in my life. I give it all to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I encourage you, fill out a portion on the bulletin that you had when you came in. There's a connect card right on the end. You can tear it off. You can leave it in the box in the back. Or you could even come forward and just talk with one of our altar anointers up here. Let them know that you prayed that prayer for the first time. We have a Bible we want to give you. We want to give you some other helps to help you in your new relationship with Jesus. So if you made that decision today, step into that. Because it's a start. It's a start of a relationship that means, like any other relationship, you got to continually nurture it and grow in it, just like anything else. So lastly, this morning, as we go into a time of worship, I wanted to make sure that we didn't leave here today not having an opportunity that we could receive from the Lord and let the Holy Spirit do a work in our life where you can have others agree with you in faith. If you are sick, call for the elders of the church, James 5. Call on the elders of the church who will come and anoint you with oil and pray in a prayer of faith. And what's amazing is we will watch God heal. We'll watch God restore. If you need provision, maybe there's other parts you just need an agreement in prayer. Maybe there's parts God's stirring you on some parts of prejudice. We can pray together that God will help all of us to grow better in this. And even in this point of worship, I encourage you, would you pray for our nation? That God would help remove the stain and the sin of prejudice that's so prevalent today, the division, the discord, and that God would bring a great move to our nation. So let's go into that time of worship and prayer together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for our wonderful church, our Calvary Church, and the greater awakening that you want to bring to this region. And so, Lord, as we go back into a time of worship, Lord, we just pray, help us with this test of prejudice today. Look it over every part of our life and help us to grow better, to be better. Change us. God, let your Holy Spirit empower us to be and live different. Give us a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit. God, give us a fresh anointing, a fresh baptism, not just a little douse, but God, just dump on us with the power of your presence, the power of your Holy Spirit, to break hold, to break strongholds in our lives, to free us, oh God, into newer depths of obedience. So Lord, we pray and we lift up